I was asked a number of times, it happened to us a number of times, where a person would leave a bottle of a drink. It could be a bottle of water, it could be a bottle of wine, it could be a bottle of juice or soda, open overnight. And people remember that there's a chazal that speaks about gilui, that if you leave a bottle overnight, we're worried that perhaps a nachash might have drank from it, and in doing so might have inserted some of its eres, some of its venom, into that drink, and therefore it's usher to drink that drink the next day. And I've gotten this shaila a number of times, and it's happened a number of times, and there's an arichas in the tour as to what liquids it does apply to, what liquids it doesn't apply to. But this happens. So what happens if you wake up tomorrow morning, you find that your Poland Spring bottle of water that you had a sip from tonight, you see tomorrow morning the Poland Spring bottle is just around the same place where you left it the night before, but it was open all night. So you're allowed to drink that tomorrow. So Shulchan Aruch says that mashkim shenisgalu, if you have liquids that were left uncovered, Chachamim said it's aser because a snake might have drank and inserted its own venom. Concludes the Shulchan Aruch, va'achsha she'ein nechashim mitzuyim beinenu. I'm assuming that the vast majority of us have not seen a snake in our kitchens in the past few weeks, perhaps even the past few months, perhaps even the past few years. And since that's the case, mutter. The Shulchan Aruch basically erases a line from the Gemara, as if it were. That's what it seems. What I'd like to speak about is this question in a little bit of a bigger picture, in the sense that if Chazal said something that it's usher, and we're saying, well, the reason doesn't apply anymore, so let's just cross this halacha out, how does that work, and does that work, and could we say that, where can't we say that? And I want to draw to your attention a number of scenarios that might not be the ones that you are thinking of, where there is a takana of Chazal, with presumably a certain reason, the reason doesn't apply anymore, and yet we do or we don't say that you have to continue to follow that halacha. So for example, these are points that the Bri Chodesh on this piece in the Shulchan Aruch raise. We are all familiar with the halacha of Sholem V'Dorshim Shloshim Hayom Kodem HaChag. In fact, if you open up a Hilchas Pesach, you'll find that it's the very first halacha in Hilchas Pesach, if I remember correctly. 30 days before, it's basically Purim, you start learning Hilchas Pesach. Now, the Bri Chodesh points out that that halacha is really, really, really based on the fact that there are the halachas of the Karban Pesach. Not just matzah and chametz and hechsher kelim, but Karban Pesach. And therefore, asks the Pri Chodesh, why do we still pask and still carry this halacha and still follow this halacha of Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, Shalom V'Dorshim Hilchas HaChag, if the whole din is based on Karban Pesach, which we don't have nowadays? That's where there are the multitude of halachas that we have to start reviewing before Pesach. So why don't we say nowadays we don't have the Karban Pesach? So you're going to tell me I'm a Harry Bana Mikdash. Okay, so when it happens, we'll worry about it. But right now, there's no Beis Hamikdash. So why do we still practice the din of Sholem V'Darshim, Hilchas HaPesach, Kodem HaPesach, Shloshim Yom? Question number one. Question number two, along similar lines. On Erev Pesach after Chatzos, there's an Isser of doing Malacha. Doesn't mean you can't switch on the light or cook, but there are malachas that are things like laundry, things like haircuts. You're not supposed to get Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And that's also paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, and we do follow that. But why is it asur to do malacha on Erev Pesach? Because it has a din of? What? Din of Yontif. Why does it have a din of Yontif? Because the Karban Pesach, same question. If there is, why should there still be practicing, why should we still practice an Isser of malacha on Erev Pesach if it's no reason to not do malacha is because it's the Yontif of Karban Pesach? You'll say, oh, it's a Yontif, we don't have the Karban Pesach, but it's still a Yontif. Bri Chodesh says, no, it's because of the Karban Pesach, we don't have the Karban Pesach, so why is this Isser malacha? Third question that he raises, Gvinas Akum. I'm not talking about Chol Yisrael and Achol Yisrael. Even if you eat Miller's, even if you drink what people typically call milk that is Stam Cholav, regular, you know, Dairy Lake Farms milk, you know, that you bought on your way up to, on the I-95. However, you can't get cheese that is, from Dairy Lake Farms, even if the products would all be kosher, because the din of Gvinas Akum. And of course, the reason for Gvinas Akum is because we're concerned that since in order to manufacture cheese, you need the enzyme rennet to catalyze the chemical reaction to cheesify the cheese, to curdle the cheese. So we're worried that the rennet, which typically comes from the keva, from the stomach of an animal, could be a non-kosher animal, and you'll end up using bimamid, the cheese, with a non-kosher ingredient, and therefore we have to make sure that even, again, not to do with Chalav Yisrael, that cheese must be manufactured by a Jew. And therefore, Miller's cheese, for example, is not Chalav Yisrael, but it is kosher cheese because it is Gvinas Yisrael. Nothing to do with Chalav Yisrael. So Gvin asks the Prichadish the following. Let's say you live in a place where they don't use animal stomachs. You know what they use? Well, we use synthetic enzymes. We use rennet, just the enzyme of rennet. He talks about they use asavim, some kind of plant, some kind of other plants that have the... are able to catalyze the curdling of the cheese and make the cheese make the milk turn into cheese. So the halacha is that in a place that only uses asavim, you'd think that you could use gvinas akum, but that's not the case. Nowadays, where you could certainly use synthetic rennet, and I'm assuming every major cheese manufacturer in the world uses rennet and not the cave of the stomach of a cow or a pig or whatever else to catalyze the cheese. And nevertheless, we still are makpid to only use Gvinas Yisrael. So how come, if the reason doesn't apply? So we ask three questions. We ask how come when it comes to 30 days before Pesach, the reason doesn't apply, we still follow it. When it comes to not doing Malacha on Erev Pesach, the reason doesn't apply, we still follow it. The question of eating Gvinas Gvinas Yisrael, even though the reason doesn't apply, we still follow it. And yet, when it came to using water that is uncovered, the Shulchan Aruch said explicitly, since we don't have snakes in our neighborhood, in our kitchens, we throw away with the line in Chazal that says we're worried about Gilui, and we do drink the water. So these are some questions that we don't have time to answer. Learning tonight is sponsored by Miss Beth Elstein, in memory of Sarbas Yudhisuk and Shlomi Yonasan ben Aaron Moshe HaKohen. I wanted to deal with the question that we raised the question last night. I'll mention the question, then we'll try to figure out an answer. I left you hanging last night. The question was, if you have a takana, Chacham make a takana, for example, the one that we mentioned last night was water that's left out overnight. So the halacha in the time of the Gemara was that you can't drink because we're worried a snake might have injected his venom into the water. And yet the Shulchan Aruch says that nowadays, since we don't have snakes in our kitchens, you are allowed to drink the water. We say if the batel hatam, the reason for the takana is no longer valid, so therefore the whole takana we throw out in the garbage. So how come we have some halachas where we do say that? Like I just mentioned, like water that's left out overnight. Similarly... hold on. Similarly, I'll mention two other cases. The halacha is that you're not allowed to sell. The beginning of Avodah Zarah says that you're not allowed to sell or do business with a guy on his holiday, and maybe in 3 days before his holiday. But the Gemara tells a story, so that sounds like it is what it is. That's the halacha. You're not allowed to sell because you can't sell an animal specifically. Certainly not an animal because they might use it for their sacrifices, but even other business deals that they might be happy and go thank their God for the successful business transaction, that's also Aser. Yet the Gemara tells a story that Rav Yehuda and some other Amarim did send animals, actually, on their Gentile holiday, and they explained, I know that this guy doesn't do Avodah Zarah. What? You could just take the laws into your own hands. You know, halacha says like it's an explicit mission. You can't do business with a guy. And here our Rav Yehuda says, oh, I know this guy is not a practicing church-going Gentile. So for me, I could send to him because he's not going to praise his God. What do you mean? Chacham min atakan, it's a mefurish mishnah. You can't do business before on a holiday with a guy. You can't do business with them. You're saying the reason doesn't apply to you. You could go ahead and do it. How do you have the power to do that? Similarly, there are other, we'll leave it like that. So that's one thing that we see. So we have that story, we have the case with the water that you are allowed to drink it because we don't have snakes on the snakes nowadays. And we ask, on the other side of the coin, you have numerous halachas where even though the reasons are no longer extant, we still practice those takanas. For example, we mentioned last night the reason that you're not, the reason why we do learn Hilchos Pesach is for the Korban Pesach. We don't have a Korban Pesach, but we still keep the halacha of Sholem V'Darshim Shloshim Yom. And similarly, Gvinas Akum, even though nowadays they use rennet, they don't use the stomachs of an animal to curdle the milk into cheese. We don't use stomachs anymore, and yet we still follow the halachas of Gvinas Akum. So how can we have these two types of halachas throughout Shas? When do we, yes, say that all we care about is the reason? If the reason is kaput, then the takon is kaput. And when do we say, no, ein basin yachol akor, basin dvar shal basin chashol chaveir, elem ken godolim erum chachma v'minyon. You can't uproot, you can't undermine something that a previous basin established. When do we say one, when do we say the other? So I want to share with you an answer that Tosas says. Tosas points out that the following situation, He says, if there was a situation which originally the takana did apply, meaning there was a person who did Avodah Zarah, and later on he stopped doing Avodah Zarah. So such a person, since the takana did apply to him, he does Avodah Zarah, so you can't sell to him 3 days before his holiday. So such a person, even if he stops doing Avodah Zarah, even if you know that this, you know, cow, he's not going to, you know, he only sacrifices pigs, not cows or cows. This, he's not going to, this specific situation that you created now is not going to be subject to that reason, since the takana did originally apply to him, so you can't undermine that. However, if, for example, you're dealing with a person who was never went to church, he was never a religious idolater, he never brought sacrifices to his God ever, so such a person, you would be able to say, oh, the time never applied to this scenario at all, and therefore you would be able to go ahead and ignore the takanas chazal because it never applied to this person. There's another way to say this, which might be a little better, and that is the following. Let me ask you one more question. My machronim. What's the reason for my machronim? So that's probably the most applicable situation that in everyday life where we say the reason doesn't apply, so we don't do it. So there are a number of reasons, but the main, one of the primary ones, the Tosafot says that there's melach tzedomus. People in the olden days, they had a very dangerous type of salt near the area of Sodom. You go down to the Dead Sea and you could collect the salt there. So that salt gets into your eye, could ruin your sight. So therefore, chachamim were mesakin, and you have to wash your hands before you bench to make sure you get rid of the melach tzedomus. I ask you a question. Let's say you grew up in New York. Your whole life you lived in New York. Was there ever Melach Sodomus in New York? There never was Melach Sodomus in New York. Not now, not 1,000 years ago, not 3,000 years ago, not 2,000 years ago, not in the time of Chazal, when they made the Takana. In other words, when they made the Takana, Melach Sodomus, they made the Takana where? It makes sense to make it wherever there might have been Melach Sodomus available. But if Melach Sodomus would never be available in a certain location, then the takana didn't apply in that location. In other words, this is how the Ran says it, it depends on locations. If there's a certain location where a takana would not apply, never applied originally, then we could say, even though it's a takana of Chazal that should apply theoretically across the board, but since in this location never applied, we won't apply this takana. Similarly,
what? Everybody across all countries, they all follow my machronim. Wasn't only limited to one area.
I guess France, in the time of the Bali Tosas, they didn't.
They didn't?
The Tosas says you don't have to, right? Yeah.
There are other reasons,
but according to Tosas, this is what Tosas says. So in France, that's what they did in France. So we'll have to finish this another time.